Michael Elliott is an enterprise cloud evangelist at Dell with over 20 years of experience in the technology space. In this capacity, he consults with companies throughout North America on their cloud architecture and represents Dell at industry conferences. Michael started his career as a mainframe programmer for General Electric and held the role of adjunct professor of marketing at the University of Akron. Michael has a mathematics degree from the University of Cincinnati and an MBA from Penn State. Please welcome Michael Elliott to Cloud Computing West.
Thank you. So Dell has kind of transformed itself. Most people think of Dell and they think of, you know, Michael Dell sitting in his dorm room, University of Texas, building computers and starting the company. And he's really transformed that company into one that we are the infrastructure of the cloud. When you go out and look at the largest cloud organizations, cloud offerings out there, you will see Dell in greater than 50% of that infrastructure. And that may be from a compute perspective, from a storage perspective, from a networking, from a software, all those components that build out that cloud. Now, my role and responsibility is really around going out and talking to the customers. Where do you want to be 3 to 5 years from now? What is your data center going to look like? And then secondly, how do we get you? And we talk about, you know, I was just talking with a customer early last week. He said, well, my CIO came in to me and said, are we on the cloud? And I asked him, how'd you answer? He goes, well, I kind of hesitated. And I go, the answer is yes. The answer is always yes. Because what happens? We see these transformations that occur. Companies are either growing rapidly and their data center can't keep up. The CEO gets off a plane and he read something about cloud and he comes in and asks, are we on the cloud? The answer is always yes. Or third, our business model is such that I don't want to invest money into IT infrastructure. I want to invest money into things that grow our business, that make us profitable. And those are really the transformative things that we see as a company that are changing how this works. Now, as introduced, I am an old mainframe programmer, which sounds funny because I'm not that old. But I came out of undergrad. And the mainframe, for me, you know, question, is the mainframe a cloud? I'll put it out there to you. My answer is absolutely yes. It is. You know, I go back to the time when IT ruled the universe. When you think about the Thanksgiving kitchen table, IT sat at the head of the table because everybody that needed compute capability came to IT. And then some engineers went out, ran around, and said, you know what? I don't want to go through IT. I want to have my own compute capability. And they went out and bought a deck. Anybody remember the old decks? Yeah. And all of a sudden, IT wasn't the head of the table. And as we evolved further and further, we've gotten to the point that IT is at the kids' table. Because companies don't need IT anymore. At least they don't perceive they do. I get to do a lot of computation with, or a lot of work with Intel. And Intel really understood this because it said, our people, when they come to us and they need compute capability, we're getting back to them, yeah, we can build that for you. It'll take 2 or 3 months. And their engineers were saying, no, I'll go somewhere else. So Intel had to really redesign the way that they provide infrastructure service to their customers, and their customers being their internal engineers. So they've gotten to the point where they can create and build compute infrastructure to 2 days, and they're trying to get it into hours. So I go back to this, is it a mainframe or isn't it? I stole this from the IBM guy. I think he's disappeared now. But you look about it, you know, flexibility and scalability, maximum availability, that was the mainframe. But do we want to go out and build mainframe clouds anymore, as we understood it? No, we don't want to write that check to Intel or whoever it might, or to IBM, on that ongoing basis. We want this heterogeneous cloud that allows us to take the infrastructure we want. We may be an EMC bigot, or a Cisco bigot, so we want that portion of it, but we may want this aspect from the compute capability. So kind of looking at where's this industry headed, Gartner came out and said that by 2020, the industry would be $240 billion. That's going to be blown away. As of the end of this year, that industry, the cloud industry, is already $131 billion and well surpassed that $220. That's how quickly it's growing. And we look at virtualization, how quickly virtualization came about. How fast that evolution really started in 2000. By 2006, people were starting to put tier one applications to the point that now 60% of most people's infrastructure is virtualized. Cloud's ramp is going to be much larger than that. From a Dell perspective, what we're seeing is 68% of spending now is going towards private clouds. People are trying to understand, how do I start building out a private cloud? How do I change my data center to start providing what everybody's saying cloud is about? Scalability, burstability, self-service. Forrester just went out and did a study and said that, you know, 52%, approximately 52% are now of large enterprises are going towards, how do I build out a private cloud? This hosted private cloud, you know, I may not want to have that infrastructure on site. I may want to host it, but I still want all the benefits of private cloud. So we're seeing a lot of growth towards that. Public cloud is already there. People are saying, no, I want to understand. I want all of that under my control. I don't want my competitor's application running on the same server, the same blade that mine is. I don't want their data potentially on the same spindles that my data is on. Gartner came out and had a great presentation. They really talked about future data centers are built for change. They have to evolve. It's not building them to last. It's how can they evolve as we go forward. Quick example, South Park. Anybody know South Park? What happened? They missed an episode. Why? Because their data center lost power and they had no way of going out. And that kind of leads into, what is this hybrid cloud? I heard somebody state there's three, there potentially is three types of clouds, private, public, hybrid. I'm a big advocate, there is no hybrid cloud per se. There's private, there's public, and it's how it all works together, what we call this hybrid state. So if we started up from the perspective of an internal private cloud, which is where we're seeing a lot of organizations, a lot of companies building towards this private cloud infrastructure, a hybrid cloud would be, how can I start moving from my private infrastructure, because I need to burst, out into an external private cloud infrastructure and start moving applications? Now, I worked with a CIO of a major, I'll say gene manufacturing, they do more than that, but gene manufacturing company. And we kind of started looking at, you know, what is your compute trend? He's like, well, from January to September, I'm humming along and I'm about 30, 40% capability. And then come September, we really start to ramp everything up. And I'm running, my data center is running about 95%+ capability. And we do that through December, and about January drops down and things settle down. And the question I ask, so do you build your data center for that September to December time frame? Or do you build it for the rest of the time? It's like, well, I have to. I have to build it for that September when I am running at peak capacity. And we start looking to him and talk to him about, well, what if your data center, your brick and mortar, is built for that 8 months of the year, and you start bursting out into external private cloud infrastructure to handle those next 3 or 4 months? That's what cloud is kind of promising and providing for people, and that's what I see as this concept of the hybrid cloud. We look at companies like, you know, Amazon. Now all of a sudden, hybrid is not just private to private. It's, he could look at it and say, well, I have a whole lot of tier three applications that don't require a lot of security around it. What if I move those applications out onto a public cloud during that time so that my tier one primary applications are still running in my data center, but these lower tier applications, maybe I throw those out on a public cloud. Then we can also bring out, I can't see it very well from here, but a BCDR cloud. One of the, and I'm not a big, this fantasy football. How many people do fantasy football? I have too much bias to my own teams that I'm horrible at it because I pick the players off my favorite teams. One of the largest fantasy football companies out there, and I'm not allowed to say the name, what they've done from a BCDR perspective in this hybrid scenario, they have their entire fantasy football system sitting on their cloud, but they replicate out to a BCDR cloud. So all the storage gets moved out there. They keep a couple of VMs up and running, such that if they see that their data center is going to go down, whether it's Hurricane Sandy, you know, planned event or an unplanned event, very easy, very quickly for them to then turn on, go out there, turn on, ramp up more VMs, and start shifting the IPs from their data center to that data center so they're not going down. They have that ability to start moving and managing workloads in that way. Another example of kind of that hybrid cloud approach. And I get a lot of customers, and I'll be sitting there doing a presentation to CIOs, and they'll be like, you're too high. So I always kind of put up this presentation and say, what does this really mean? Think about the aspect of payroll systems. What's payroll systems doing during a month? And say it's just a once-a-month transaction. During the normal course of a week, in the normal course of a month, payroll transactions doing what? Oh, we hired some people, we got to enter them into the system. Some people got elevated, we need to change them in the system. The payroll is taking up very, very little compute capability until they get to the end of the month. And all of a sudden, it's consuming large bandwidth. That's also another example of how do we move or create that burstability within that by being able to move applications around, move them out to private clouds, move them out to public clouds, giving that application the ability to burst out. And it's not just payroll, it's financial systems, it's all these other types of systems. Well, what will that require of our data center? It'll require complete and total automation. I mean, Michael, you were out there talking about what does a guy in a data center managing storage do 5 years ago compared to what he does today? Back then, he was striping arrays. All of that is automated now. That's where our data center has to be. We have to build it up to an automation perspective where all of these things are able to handle, understand, and see where I'm going to need more compute capability and start shifting applications around, not by manual means, but by automated means. That's the vision in the future of where we're going with the cloud. And cloud really requires this strategic business conversation. It's great that I go out and I have all these strategic conversations with IT. IT's at the kid's seat. They're trying to elevate themselves up. It really now is a business conversation where you sit down with the leaders of finance, with leaders of marketing, the leaders of operations, and say, what are your requirements to make the company more successful, to make them leaner, to make them faster? And how can IT support that? That's truly where this relationship needs to evolve to. And we talked about, you know, I kind of put out there this question of when asked, are we on the cloud? The answer is yes. And that's because cloud is an evolution. It begins with just basic infrastructure provisioning at the very beginning. But it's this journey that we have to go on, and some companies may not ever get to the complete final state of complete optimized services delivery, where marketing comes in and says, I need a web application that allows me to start tracking customer usage, understand what they're buying, why they're buying it, and them coming to IT and IT going, I don't know how to do that. We need to get it to the point where it is so self-service, they come in and say, well, I've heard about this application. What do you have? Oh, I see it on a menu board that now I can spin up. I can start tracking who purchases what. And we're talking earlier about kind of the links. It was kind of a scary what Kyle went into in his conversation around how much we track the article about Target about the woman. I remember reading about that. And I want to ask you later on, how much is too much of us monitoring folks? But really, how do I start tying all that together in a self-service model that allows somebody in marketing — we don't think of marketing folks as the most intelligent folks, they are one step above the sales folks, right? But how do we allow marketing folks to start doing this self-service to be able to spin up a solution stack that IT never has to get involved in? That's the evolution we're trying to go to as we go forward around the cloud. And with that, I'll kind of conclude right there. Love to take questions as we go forward. So with that, thank you very much. It's like the end of the conference. They're like, come on, let's just get to the speaker panel and move on.
Thank you. Next up we have Jay.